Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, man, he is here, sporting a very nice kind of, it looks almost vintage, Oakland A's jacket to know that he is indeed Baseball Spo. It's Adam Spillane. What's happening, my man?
Just, it's always good to have friends who work for teams, and you can say when you get laid off, like, hey, send me some stuff.
That's right.
And they'll just go right into the clubhouse and send you some stuff.
Exactly.
How much you want for that jacket?
It's going to cost you a lot.
Think about that number. We'll circle back around at the end of the segment.
I had a good week on NFL, so I don't really need it right now.
Oh, look at that. Wow. Look at that.
You know that was my spot when I was a kid, man.
He said, if you catch me when maybe the parlay's not hit, and we can make a deal.
I've got a Ray, an honoring Ray Fosse patch. That
ooh,
I can give you.
Ooh,
I got a bunch of those.
Oh, that was my guy.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll
deals
bring that
being
back.
Made. Yeah. You love to see it. All right, speaking of deals being made or the potential of deals being made, I didn't realize that Joe Espada would be talking to anybody in this time, but apparently there was a little bit of audio of Joe Espada, and I think this came through on Monday, and I just was fascinated to hear this. This is Joe Espada talking about Alex Bregman.
Well, he has not signed with anyone, right? So we here still, you know, open. Our arms are still open. The door's still open. There's always a chance, right? But right now, we are still in conversations with not only him, but with other free agent players. So we'll see. We'll see.
I mean...
No, you're not.
Are we for real in a place where the Astros would still have any ability or even willingness to sign Alex Bregman at this point?
I mean, they have the ability. It's just that they're not. They're not going to. And it's fine. And it's just Joe being diplomatic, and that's what Joe is. Joe is a diplomatic person.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to shut. I mean, he was the one who was really. I mean, him and Altuve were at the forefront of how much they needed him, how much they needed to bring him back, how much he meant to the club over these last however many years. But yeah, it is known that it's not going to happen. They made their offer. Bregman turned it down, and they moved on quickly. That's the one thing that you kind of learn about Dana Brown, is that he moves quick. And you saw it last year with Hader when, all right, Kendall Graveman out for the year. 3 days later, whatever, they sign Hader. This year, all right, you know, Bregman turns down the offer. And then they go out and they make the Tucker trade, and they make they think they have the Arenado trade done. Mm-hmm. Arenado says no. They pivoted real quick and made the move to go get Christian Walker. So they don't waste a lot of time. And obviously, that's why Bregman isn't coming back. That's among the reasons why Bregman isn't coming back. But no, there's zero chance.
Sounds like D'Amico Ryan saying, yeah, I got J.J. Watt's number.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's a good way to put it. they are, I think it's within, they're within $4 million of the CBT. They don't want to go over the CBT again.
$4 million deal then? Average annual value?
Yeah, Come on, man.
I don't think Bregman's going to go for that. I don't think Boris will allow him to go for that. I don't know if the union will allow him to go for that. But yeah, it's a nice thought, but there's no place on the field for him now, just because of the moves that they have made. So yeah, it is Joe being very diplomatic.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, and this does not have to be in depth because it feels like, but just, we're still in this holding pattern for outfielder. Like, does it feel like that is entirely dependent on a Ryan Pressly trade?
I mean, that impacts how much you have to spend.
Okay.
Just because, again, if they're $4 million below the CBT, I think it's somewhere around $4 million below the CBT, and Pressly counts for 14. Your options are pretty slim for what you can get for $4 million, especially if you want to have a little bit of room to add or subtract. You know, to add guys once the season starts. So I do think that they would like to get Pressly off their books one way or another. It's gonna be hard though, just because the money that he makes and the fact that he can veto any trade. And so, and they're probably going to have to take on some of that money too.
But they have to, don't they?
What?
Well, you know, because Pressly...
Yeah, but it takes two to tango.
I know, but
three to tango in this instance.
But you have to make it an incentive type deal.
What, for Pressly?
For Pressly.
I mean, you can tell Presley, hey, you're going to get to close again. Maybe that's all the incentive that he needs. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Presley, and this is why you have the no trade, and this is why you have the ability to veto a trade, is that you can say, hey, okay, I'll take the trade, but you got to add another 14 to the contract. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to give me another year. And whether it's there's an option to it or something, you've got to give me something in order to waive the no trade. And that's why you have those rights. Mm-hmm. That's why the player gets those rights, is that they have the ability to dictate where they play, and it allows them to have some control in the situation where most of the time you don't have a lot of control. There's not a lot out there. I know I've seen Jurickson and Profar linked to them, who's great clubhouse guy, had the best year of his career last year with the Padres, wound up hitting third for them. But he's kind of bounced around, so I don't know if that's the guy that gets you excited, but he'd probably be an upgrade over what they have in the outfield right now.
I personally would like Jurickson Profar. It felt like he had to find his space, because he bounced around a little bit, but once he got to the Padres, it felt like he was able to solidify
his play. Was one of baseball's best prospects for a long time.
He was.
When he was coming up with the Rangers, so it's a it's an interesting guy, and again, great clubhouse guy, which I think with the Astros matters, especially when kind of looking to kind of fill in the blank spots of your roster. Like, you're not looking for stars at this point. You're just looking for guys to fill out your roster. I think that's a good guy to go get.
How concerning for you, you know, pivoting to the Rockets, was that loss on Monday? Day game, 1 p.m. start against a team that is not as bad as we have gotten used to them being, the Detroit Pistons, but also should not compare with this Rockets team. How concerning for you was the start for that game and ultimately a loss against that team?
It didn't really matter to me. Okay. I think that you look at they sleptwalked for at least the first quarter of that game. And it's an early start. And plus, they flew from Portland on Monday. Or they flew back from Portland on Sunday. So that's a long flight back from Portland. You know, it's a long road trip, a long flight back. You're going to be a little tired in that sort of
no shoot around.
Nothing at all. I thought they played really well in the second quarter. Now, why they fell out, you know, why they fell flat in the second half, that's another story.
And
that's something that's, you know, the fact that you had Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün both play really poor games and both only play 30 minutes in that game, which was not the plan going in, but it's because of how poorly they played. I think that's maybe a little bit concerning, but it's one. It's one out of 82, and, you know, games like that will happen. You also, though, you saw how good Cade Cunningham is.
Yeah.
And that was just a masterclass. That third quarter, 19-point third quarter. I mean, most of that is on Dylan Brooks and Amen Thompson, two of the better defenders, two of the best defenders in the entire league. And, like, he did everything right there. So, like, he's coming into his own. And I think that's the one thing that you take away from that game is Cade Cunningham is that guy.
Yeah. Now you got the Cavaliers coming in with offense.
Yeah.
They got both.
Well, they're like top 10 in defense, but they are an offensive team with a lot of ways to get you. And that's the proverbial, you know, get right game if they can do something.
It's funny how what coaching can do. Because you look like with the Rockets, and I shouldn't put the Rockets totally in this category because they actually started winning last year. They tried to win last year as opposed to the years before. But when you, like, completely change your culture and change out a lot of things, like you look at Detroit last year, you know, Monty Williams, they win 14 games. Now all of a sudden they bring in J.B. Bickerstaff and they might be a playoff team.
Right.
Cleveland, they have J.B. Bickerstaff. He gets them to the second round. They bring in Kenny Atkinson, and all of a sudden, like, he completely turns something on with that offense to make them a viable title contender. It reminds you a little bit of, remember, Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr in Golden State?
Absolutely.
Where Mark Jackson kind of gave them that foundation, like that defensive foundation, but it was Kerr who really unlocked their offense. That's kind of what you're seeing now with Cleveland. But that's a really good team. That's a good team that has some, I mean, Donovan Mitchell's playing at an incredibly high level. He's figured out how to play with Darius Garland.
Right.
And Evan Mobley, like, this is the 2021 draft where it's Cade Cunningham number one, Jalen Green number two, Evan Mobley number three, and really all three of those guys have come into their own this year. But you look at the schedule coming up, it's Cleveland tonight. Then you have another Cleveland game coming up on Saturday. There's a Boston game in there. There's a Atlanta game in there. Like, this is not an easy stretch for the Rockets. I think they go to Minneapolis at one point on this trip. So it's a good thing that they have the cushion that they have right now.
Yeah, you talked about a lot there, and I feel like it's all interesting, and I want to be able to talk about all of it. Unfortunately, we don't have quite that time, but you know, the game against the Pistons, Alperen Şengün was not playing all that well, and that is not an anomaly necessarily. It feels like, at the very least, he hasn't been finishing well.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that you can point to with him, what have you seen from Alperen this year? Is there anything, like, that you have insight-wise as to why it hasn't quite looked the same as years pass and or even earlier in the season?
I thought it might be health, and I've had some people tell me that he hasn't been totally healthy, but then I ask him and he says he's completely healthy. He's 100% and that hasn't been an issue. The finishing, though, like the shots at the rim have been, like, that was something that he really, he was at like 40% on shots in the restricted area for at the start of the year, which was like 82nd out of 83 who had had like 10 attempts at that point. He's gotten better, but it's not necessarily the finishing. It's the starts. Like the way that he is starting games has been a real issue to the point. I think he was 2 of 10 maybe to start the game against Detroit the other day. He got completely worked by Jalen Duren.
Yes, he did.
Really that entire day. And one of the things that he said is like he's got to wake up. Like that's on him. It's like start games better. Like he can't sleepwalk through these games. And a lot of times it's Fred VanVleet like waking, essentially, you know, quote unquote, waking,
slapping
him
around a little
like
bit.
Saying,
yeah.
Hey, you got to get going because we need you. We can't win these games without you.
Well, keep in mind, Ime was not exactly high on him to start the year either.
Well, he, it's an interesting kind of relationship just because he's not necessarily the type of big that I think Ime loves.
No,
because Ime wants the athletes. Ime wants the defensive guys. But I do think that you give Şengün credit for improving the defense. Like he's been a very good defensive player this season. And the other thing that he's really improved is the rebounding. And so while Ime might not love certain aspects of Şengün's game, Ime loves the offensive rebounding, and Şengün's been really good on the offensive glass this season. And he's also been much better on the defensive glass as well. So he's got to get better with the finishing stuff. It is hard for me to think that you can have a center who is going to be less than 60% from the restricted area. Like that's something that can't happen just because when you miss shots in that, on that area of the floor, you make things a lot tougher on your defense.
Yeah. And it was interesting because Sam Amick wrote a really interesting it was like a little bit of a Q&A kind of meets profile. Interesting thing for The Athletic. We'll maybe highlight some of the things that we drew from it later in the show, but he gave a lot of praise to Ime on, you know, why he's developed, the trust that Ime has put in him, and honestly, him becoming more of a first and second option rather than a fourth, fifth option that he had been early on. So I'm interested to see like how much, you know, how much that continues to grow. But I guess we'll see what that looks like tonight versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. What are you most looking forward, or what are your eyes going to be trained on in this game?
I'm kind of curious just in Cleveland more than anything.
Okay.
You know, I want to see Evan Mobley. I want to see this version of Evan Mobley with Kenny Atkinson just to see how different it looks. And then you do want to see Şengün against the shot blockers, because I think that's where he struggled a little bit this season, is just having to deal with the length of guys and finishing over them. You've got Jared Allen on that team. You've got Evan Mobley on that team that he's going to have to deal with. So how does he, can he, because there have been times where like last year he was really physical. Like he was really physical with Wembanyama and he had that 41-point game. So he was able to use his physicality against Victor. Can he use his physicality against the two centers for the Cavs tonight?